Hey, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of the Beach Court Podcast. My name's Eric Ridgway. I'm joined by Parker Greenwald and Max Corcoran. We're here having a good time. We're going to have a good chat today. We're going to talk about Pokemon Presents. Pokemon Presents was today. All of our live reactions really was like an hour ago. So when we're recording this, we'll give you our reactions to Pokemon Presents. I'm really just going to focus on the metagame for Black Bolt and White Flare. This weekend was a really big weekend online. There was like basically three major events. And we'll talk about each of them and the results and where the metagame's kind of shifting. And we'll also, you know, we dove in, we found some lists that we like. So we'll show you and highlight a single little list that each of us like from this weekend's tournaments. Boys, how was your weekend? How was your week? What you been up to? Max, run it down.
Yeah, I'll go first. I had the least Pokemon-y weekend of the guys here. But I was out of town. I was up in Charlotte once a year. I head up to Charlotte for Endmore, play Humans vs. Zombies. Just a good chance to catch up with some friends. It's basically like tag, but all over a college campus with the Nerf guns to defend yourself. So it's silly. It's fun. I've been playing it since college, but it's really a great time to kind of catch up with some friends, get a little bit of a break and a reset. In between some breaks that I was still grinding some live, just getting some practice with a new set ever since that came out last week. Really just, you know, getting reps, getting comfortable, looking to the online meta, seeing how things are feeling. But I'm itching to get back to playing some in-person Pokemon this week at Locals. So
did you win the zombie chase?
I finished on Sunday and I left Sunday morning, so I didn't die, but I didn't have a chance to win either.
Okay.
But if you stay to the end, you pretty much always die because the zombies eventually will always take over or something. So, but that was a good time. Shout out to the rest of the Florida crew who travels to all these and makes sure I'm
done. Like one thing like that ever, and it's not really that. It was just paintball, but like, you know, similar thing.
Play paintball.
Yeah, you hide behind things, right, and like try to like not get hit and stuff. So.
I'm more of like inviting the zombies to come at me because I am confident enough in my abilities to defeat them. And it works out well for the most part until there's like 100 of them and just me. And then I can't really do anything about that.
That's so funny. Yeah, we'll share some pictures sometime. Yeah. Parker, what about you? What did you do this weekend? What did you do this week?
Yeah, so Thursday played at Elite Challenge. Sadly, I lost. I lost to the senior, actually. She destroyed me.
She's so good.
She did. She had Rare Candy Zard boss and killed my only Curlia. So that's basically game over. But managed to get a second there after actually IDing the last round just for prize support because it was impossible for me to get first. So I was like, I don't really care. But got second. And then played at the Cool Stuff Cup this Sunday. I beat some scrub round two.
Eric.
He was playing Goldango.
How are you gonna do the good name of Goldango dirty like that, Eric?
Bro, when I tell you, you know, we've heard Parker complain all the time about, oh dear, I don't draw well. Bro had the nuts. So he goes Arvin for Vessel Evo. I'm like, cool. He plays the Vessel and then he goes Secret Box. I'm like, bro, you opened Arvin and Secret Box. And then additionally, the following turn, he didn't grab candy off a box. He grabbed Poffin, obviously. And then next turn, he had Candy Guardy in hand.
Yes, sir.
So he opened Candy Guardy, Secret Box, Arvin, and a Ralts. And I'm like, bruh. Are you kidding me?
I had two generational moments. My opponent went attached pass round one. And then round two, that happened.
Yeah, and what did I prize in my game, Parker? What were my prizes?
It was both your Dracloaks.
All of my Dracloaks are in the prizes, so I can never like keep a good board to draw.
Nah, just Goldango. Just draw Goldango.
I could never pull off, like, the only way I could win, I had a win con, but I could just never draw it. I needed to draw the tower boss combo, and I just never could get to it. So I had the tower, I could just never find the boss. It kept avoiding me. So maybe the four boss Dango list that we're going to review in a little bit are like legit. I don't know.
Maybe with a jellyfish in the active, it might be.
Yeah. So anyways, you finished top four?
Top eight. So I ended up losing to Disney, who was borrowing my deck. But he became the eventual winner.
He won his first cup, right?
He was playing.
No, he's won. He beat me in finals of another cup. But we kind of thought, like, I mean, it's maybe like a like arrogant thought, but we're like probably like the winner of this series wins the cup, basically, because
yeah,
I went. So the winner of the other table that like would be our opponent was Gardevoir. And then so like had I won, I play the Gardevoir and then I play Krustle, which is like a free matchup in finals. But he ended up playing against Krustle and he was able to beat it with like
Maractus and Snarl.
Well, yeah, but he was playing like he did like Maractus shenanigans and stuff. So he was able to beat that matchup.
Disney's always playing the control cards in his deck.
Yeah.
You know it.
Anyways, for me, I played Thursday Locals. I played Stefan Ivanhoff's list, which is something.
Jarl Zorak.
To the challenge. Went 2-2. Kind of had some unfortunate draws, but like Max was saying before I started that tournament, it is a harder deck to play. You need more reps. So I'm going to continue practicing that because I like that build. It's fun. And then on Sunday for the cup, I was going to run it back or I was going to switch to Dango. And late, I switched to Dango. Well, Pango, I guess is how they call it. Pult Dango. Just because I like the deck. And I know that Dango is going to be good next format. We'll talk about it. I lost to Parker round two after somehow being a Joltik Box round one. So I cut my Pikachu deck going into the tournament. And then immediately hit Joltik Box round one. And I'm like, are you kidding
me? You're fine. You're just petting Grudge.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. And they go boss KO. And you're like, sick.
No, but you don't have any other two prizes, right? Here's some free Pango, Goldango coaching for everyone.
They go amp.
No, they can't put that much energy into play, right? So they go Joltik, you know, put four energy wherever, right? They either load up an Iron Hands.
Yeah.
Or they go and load up a Pikachu.
They load up Iron Hands.
Okay, so the little Iron Hands. Okay, yeah. So then you go Goldango KO the Iron Hand. Goldango KO the Joltik. Then they go Iron Hands boss. And you go KO the Iron Hands. And now they have nothing.
No, they crisp in the last turn of the Pikachu.
Our energy counts aren't lining up.
Anyways, it's fine. It's a tough matchup. It ain't free like you think it is. Anyways, but yeah, so my first two rounds were McKinley, who's a really, really good local here, and then Parker round two. And I'm like, can you please stop? Like, what's going on? Anyways, long story short, I got top 16. I lost my winning in. I would have been the 4-2 to bubble in had I won my last round.
But 60
it came down to a scenario at the end of the game versus Gardevoir where I could either play around Iono and then have a chance to lose if they played boss, or I could play around boss, and then if I get Iono'd, I'd probably lose anyways because I never find any Dangos. Because my situation was Turo, the active Dango, so there was no two prizer on the board for him to win. But instead, I played Switch to put a single prize in the active and keep the Dango so I can draw. He goes, all right, cool, secret box for boss, GG's. I'm like, okay, like, I'm not going to play around you, a Gardevoir player playing boss, you know, in Death Rivals format. So I thought I misplayed at the time, but I was like, oh, no, I was actually the right play. Because if I Turo that and I put two gimmies down, like my board, just three gimmies, and I get Iona to two, I'm never winning. So
yeah, no.
I think it was the right move. Anyways, yeah, top 16 cups fun. I mean, Dustin Rivals format, we got one more week of it here if you've got any local challenges or stuff. But let's jump into our next topic, which is Pokemon Presents. So the highlights of Pokemon Presents, my first take, I'm curious of your take. I was underwhelmed. I wasn't like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we'll shout out David Birkin's been previous. I think he's popped on the pod previously before. But ultimately, he said, hey, listen, we have Worlds in a month. You know, they need to save something for Worlds, right? When they do the big announcements, oh, here's the brand new mechanic that's coming. Here's the brand new yada yada. Right? Like, understandably, you know, they're probably going to drop a bunch of new megas. Like, you know, they have a whole bunch of stuff to say at the World Championship. So I think here was like some of the needed updates to go and give us a little bit of Worlds information, talk about some of the new like spin-off games, cover some of those pieces that they won't cover at Worlds, and plus give us like a little bit, you know, to to chew on for Pokemon Legends ZA. Let us know that we can pre-order it starting now and give us a release date, all that fun stuff. So I totally get it. Like, you know, I'm as the Pokemon enjoyer, I always want to, you know, be blown away by all the news. In terms of the TCG stuff, there wasn't really anything new. It's cool to like see the, you know, the promo and get confirmation that like the world's
alt-arts
finals is happening in an arena. Yeah, we did get some new alt art. It's like some cool stuff to see, but we know like the best is yet to come at Worlds. So for now, just another reason to look forward to the World Championships.
Yeah, the most important thing that happened, you know, was the release date of the Pokemon TCG Mega Evolution set or whatever it's called. Is it Mega Evolutions?
Mega Evolutions.
Look at me. Come on, guys. Good job. 9/26 is the release date. So what does that mean for our tournaments and our major events? So the Pittsburgh Regionals will be in the same format as the World Championships. And 9/26 is the release date for the Mega Evolution set, which means that come Milwaukee Regionals, it looks like maybe we'll have the Psyduck by then. Maybe we can play Psyduck at Milwaukee Regionals that stops Dusknors. Yeah.
But most importantly, for Milwaukee, we will have Mega Evolution set legal for the first time.
Yep.
And as well as in the Belo Horizonte Regional in Latin America. I just butchered that name, I'm sure. But that's the one down in Brazil. Another regional down in Brazil.
Yeah, same weekend. Yeah, same weekend. I'll make sure I'll find a cup that weekend and go destroy someone with some Mega Gardevoir or Mega Kangaskhan build while you guys go to a regional. So that's the implications there. What else kind of highlights? Did you guys see the Poke Park?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest announcement.
That looks so cool. I think they've announced it before, but like now they're like officially like saying, hey, it's opening in 2026. But like it's an outdoor Pokemon attraction in like Japan and Yomiuri Land. I guess it's like an amusement park they already have. But it's going to be like an area inside of the amusement park where you just go in and it's like they're trying to make it feel like you're in the Pokemon world. Like there's live Pokemon everywhere that you can interact with and stuff. So I'm kind of cool to see. I'm interested to see like some pictures from that. You know, and next time I'm in Japan, like let's go. We got to make our way over there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, especially if they're like following the footsteps of some of the other like immersive interactions like Galaxy's Edge at, you know, Disney or even the new Epic Universe like the Mario Land, right? If they're able to create that immersive space that is like a space for Pokemon as well, then that's very exciting for Pokemon fans. And of course, if it does well in Japan, which we know will because it's Pokemon, then maybe we carve out a little corner of some other park in some future.
It'd have to be Universal, right?
I don't know who has deals. I don't know if Pokemon has any deals with like Universal or Disney, and I don't know if they
aren't they under the Nintendo umbrella?
I mean, Pokemon Company International is like a little different, so like it'd probably be some cross deal. Like it'd probably be a Universal over
it'd
anything.
It'd probably be Universal just because they're so close to Nintendo.
Maybe
it has to be. Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
No, or just go to Japan to see it.
Yeah, and so one of the other things I wanted to call out that I thought was cool from my notes was the 4th anniversary of Pokemon Unite with Latios and Latias. I don't know the answer to this, but like it seemed like they were coming out today. So like, are they going to be legal for Worlds? Because if they are, that'd be like super cool to see them on the world scene. I don't know the regulations for. Like Unite and how it impacts Worlds, but I know one of our friends here, you know, locally knows. So if you know, comment below because that'd be kind of cool. I think Latios and Latias, it said like they have a special thing where they can just fly to each other like really quick inside the game, which I know is like a very big advantage if you're on different sides. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. I'm pretty excited to see.
Yeah, I think what's also funny is like Latias comes out on August 8th. So, like, in theory, if Latias is legal for the World Championships, then it'd be, like, right away type of thing.
They don't have a lot of time.
Oh, so it doesn't come out today? It comes out August 8th?
Well, Latios is out already, and then Latias comes out later.
Oh, that's so weird. They didn't release them the same day if they interact together.
But, Eric, they need you to not only open up the game today, they need you to open up the game
2 years
from now
to keep things going. You're teasing this interaction between two awesome Pokemon and you're not releasing them the same day. Anyways. Yeah, so those are kind of like our Pokemon Presents reactions. Parker, did you have anything you wanted to add to those reactions before we move on?
I thought the Pokemon Park like announcement was the coolest. The like puzzle game one
Yeah,
is
have you
like
played it
kind of
yet?
like, oh, I haven't. It's out already?
Yeah, it came out.
Yeah,
I
I haven't played it,
downloaded it
so.
immediately and played it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, that looks kind of interesting to get like 5, 10 minutes of satisfaction in a day or something. Like, I don't
Yeah, a
know.
little daily puzzle thing. I started playing it some. It's fun. I mean, some of the like the early puzzles are obviously like pretty easy. Excited for more. We got the Pokemon friends
Pokemon
hanging out.
friends.
Oh my.
So
Yeah.
I'm really
On
sad
the
that like
iPhone.
they're like, oh, you can do a lot more if you pay $10. I'm like, bruh. So
Well, I
you
mean,
get.
and also, I don't know, it's funny the market of games, right? Because I play something on my phone, I expect it to be a bunch of things for free and like I'm not gonna have to pay for it. Meanwhile, it's like, oh, Pokemon Legends ZA comes out. All right, here's $80. Right? But and also when you think about the concept of like dollar per as it's like dollar per hour of entertainment, I look at a game like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which I've played like 150 hours of back when it came out. I paid, 60, $70 for it. So it's like, okay, I've gotten so much value like from that purchase. Or even like a movie ticket, you go and pay like $15 for a movie ticket, you go watch a 3-hour movie, $5 for hour of entertainment. Like if you play this Pokemon Friends game for 20 hours and you paid $10 for content, then like that's a pretty good value, but it's a phone, so no one sees it that way.
You're right. Exactly.
That's my little
You're
soapbox.
not
Again,
wrong.
I like things that are free and plentiful, which is why we're coming to you every week on the Beachcore podcast with free content.
Hey.
So,
Free and plentiful content.
exactly. And I mean, one other thing that is big just for the competitive like Pokemon space as a whole is Pokemon Champions.
Oh,
So they gave us a lot more details on that mobile Switch game. I think the big part that was huge is that they said, hey, if you want to customize a Pokemon, you can just use a little stat slider to increase or decrease your Pokemon stats, as opposed to having to go collect a Pokemon and then train it up and do all these complicated in-game mechanics, get stats you want. Like if we have an eventual future where you can go on and, basically use the app slider to choose your stats and recruit Pokemon from within the app in a little more of an easier to play area, that's really, really gonna help the accessibility of the Pokemon video game. And I think like once this gets worked out and all the kinks there are resolved, then I think we could very much see a future where Pokemon Champions is the future of competitive Pokemon. And then that gives the Pokemon games a little more freedom to like lean a little bit more into these spin-offs, more Let's Go games, more Legends games that don't need to follow like the standard formula because they need to keep up with the competitive circuit type of thing.
Do
So
you think they'll? I don't think they'll ever get rid of like the video game side and switch to full champions. Do you? Is that what you're saying?
no, well, they not that they'll ever get rid of like main series Pokemon games,
No,
but
but
I
like
think
the
like,
at tournaments, yeah, at competitive tournaments.
well,
Like
I
Luffy,
think
is Luffy playing champions or is
that's.
he playing?
I think Wolfie will play champions someday, right? I think they'll all be playing champions someday
You think so?
because champions, you can say, hey, here's a standalone competitive game based on the Pokemon game. Because when you think about it, games like Sword and Shield and Scarlet and Violet, like they need to kind of be built to like support a competitive
Yeah,
circuit in a way.
sure.
So a game like Pokemon Legends Arceus did not really do that. You didn't have the same like stat
Right.
customization. You had like,
Right.
It
Got to
involved
go beat
mechanics,
up
right? Same,
Pokemon.
exactly. I mean, and we had what Pokemon
And
like
we
Let's Go
loved
Eevee,
our,
Let's
as
Go
a community, we
Pikachu.
loved Arceus, Legends
Yeah,
Arceus.
exactly. Even like Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu, like that wasn't really built for like the competitive set. So
Yeah.
I almost view it as like if Pokemon isn't like pigeonholed into having to like release a new
Sure.
game that can support the competitive Pokemon world every 3 years. Then maybe that lets them get a little more creative, get more into this like open world style,
Yeah.
more of this like easy to customize and like like more different ways to experience Pokemon rather than saying like, oh, we need something that will let people play Pokemon, but then also support this full official competitive circuit type
Yeah,
thing.
I could see that. It makes sense. Well, we'll see. We'll see what
So.
happens in the next couple of years. As that game releases, I think it said it's going to release 2026 next
2026,
year. So yeah. So, I for me, the note I wrote was, while it's not like a storyline, the battle scenes kind of give up Final Fantasy vibes, like how you can like control and do things. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, let's move on to our trivia segment. Before we do, we got to give a quick shout out to the best sleeves in the game, FCBC. I got my baby blues. I haven't put this in a deck yet, but I'll probably Maybe I'll create water GLC and put these in there. We'll see. But yeah, I got my baby blues in. I used them at the cup this weekend. Didn't have any sleeve issues. Passed my deck check. It was great.
Yeah, the restock hit. We got all the good colors. We got periwinkles back as a forever color now. So excited for those.
Hey.
To keep getting my periwinkles. As you know, that's a very fun color. So
love them periwinkles.
It is.
Let's go on to trivia and let's find out how much attention you were paying during Pokemon Presents today.
Boy.
Name all the Pokemon titles / products that were mentioned in Pokemon Presents.
All of them?
All of them.
Oh,
hint, there was 12.
Okay, so I mean, we got the Poke Park. Does that count as one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, let's all the random spinoffs. We got like Cafe Remix.
Pokemon Cafe Remix. Pokemon Masters. ZA
Champions.
Champions. Unite. Card game.
Go.
Yeah, go.
We said Unite.
Mm-hmm.
Is Pokemon Worlds considered a category?
No, it's no. Part of the trading card game.
Okay. Well, it's part of all the games. One,
but
two,
it's not
three,
it's not like a, you know, five, it's not six, a product seven, or eight, a thing.
Nine, 10. So we got 10. Oh, so Pokemon Sleep, of course.
Oh, yeah,
Pokemon
Sleep.
We got PokePark, got Pokemon Friends, we got Pokemon Masters EX, Pokemon ZA, Pokemon, and right there, Champions, Pokemon Cafe Remix, Pokemon Unite, Pokemon TCG, Pokemon Go, Pokemon Unite, Pokemon Sleep.
And two more.
Pokemon Concierge.
Oh, you have three more. I forgot that one.
And there's also the other like stop motion movie. Pokemon Surf Etched in Pichu.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Yep.
I forgot about that.
I got one more.
They didn't mention Pocket, which is kind of odd.
Well, that Pocket, they won't make Pocket.
Oh, sure. Parker, what else?
I don't remember.
I just watched this two hours ago. Yeah. I shouldn't.
I didn't even remember the concierge.
I was going to try to figure out how many. I was going to give you guys like, hey, give me the number, but like, this is more fun.
Well, when you say however many, we would just say 13 and get it right again.
Yeah, exactly.
So, because we always guess 13 when we have to. Was there a show?
Run through what you got again. Just
off
walk
game.
Through.
Sure. I mean, there wasn't that the Sirfetch thing? They had like
Concierge and Sirfetch.
They had like the Wallace and Gromit looking thing. Or is that what you referenced? Well,
that's the Pichu.
Was it the Pichu?
Sirfetch and Pichu was the name of the series. That's one that like the Wooloo was like sleeping the whole time when like shenanigans were going on in the background.
All right, run through the 12 you've got so far.
So we got Poke Park, Pokemon Friends, Pokemon Masters EX, Pokemon ZA, Pokemon Champions, Pokemon Cafe Remix, Pokemon Unite, Pokemon Trading Card Game, Pokemon Go, Pokemon Unite, Pokemon Sleep, Pokemon Concierge, Pokemon Sirfetch'd.
Okay, you are missing one.
Did I count properly?
I don't know, but you're missing one still.
It seems like it's obvious or something the way he's... But
it's not Worlds. You said it wasn't Worlds.
It wasn't Worlds.
The Worlds announcements. What, DJ Pikachu at the start?
I need an answer in the next 30 seconds.
I got nothing.
I can't.
I think we did pretty
it.
Good.
You did do pretty good, but you're gonna be mad at yourself for missing this one.
I think I'll survive.
You missed Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
Oh my!
The Switch 2 update. Okay,
yeah, the Switch 2
update.
Focus
on the big ones.
Yeah.
On the new stuff. So we already knew the update was out. They just kind of like pushed it again. They're like,
yeah,
in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Sorry, VGC players.
Yeah. RIP.
We got Pokemon Champions, which will be everyone's future career.
All right. Let's jump into our conversation about Black and White, Black Bolt and White Flare meta game and where the meta is going. So how we're going to do this today is where I'm going to share my screen for those of you that are listening over on anywhere not Spotify and YouTube where you can't see the videos. Come over to Spotify or YouTube and watch the videos. Preferably YouTube. Hit the subscribe button while you're there. So I'm going to talk about the Azul Invitational first. So the Azul Invitational was an 8-man tournament, or 8-player tournament, 8-player tournament that he invited so that he could stream it. And they did a double elimination bracket. So it was best of three. And they did a full bracket and best of three. If you win, you go down a loser's bracket and you get one more chance at another best of three. And if you lose again, you're out. Do you know who the first best of the first person to lose was?
Henry Chow.
Henry Chow.
Isn't that wild though? Like I was so much fun like watching him stream the tournament. But anyways, players invited were Henry Chow, Callie White, Daniel Magda, Okada Ryuki, Isaiah Bradner, Gabriel Fernandez, William Acevedo, Brent Tonneson. So I'm going to start sharing my screen. I'll run through some of these lists. The eventual champion was Brent Tonneson, who went 4-0 without any losses, did not drop a set, playing gold, just straight gold dango with four bosses orders in the deck. We had a four bosses orders gold dango deck. So this is a Shago first, did play the Scizor and the list. Really just kind of a straightforward overall list, just straight consistent four boss, one Iona. That way, if you want to combat with a Scizor, if you need to, you know, that's there. But I mean, this is like new look Goldengo. And Brent showed off the power of it just going 4-0. I think he only dropped like one or two games the whole time. What are you guys' thoughts on this Goldengo list, Max? Would you change anything?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously very solid list here, played by a very good player. And I also think to note, like, you know, going into this Invitational, right, you knew the eight players there. So when you look and say, okay, well, one of the best decks right now is still Gardevoir, and I have Isaiah Bradner and Henry Chow in the tournament, and they're almost certainly going to play Gardevoir. So if you say, hey, I can pick a deck that has a good win rate against 25% of the field, you know, pretty good odds there. I think William Acevedo was also probably a favorite to play Gardevoir. Of course, he ended up playing Goldengo along with Brent. And yeah, I mean, and this like new look at Goldengo that we've seen, you know, kind of first popped up in the Champions League. Again, this like four boss idea to get around those Jellicents. And really just going to like the full four Buddy Poffin four Nest Ball to really just lean on the power of Genesect to get those Goldengos into play. Opted for the Scizor here. I think also like a mirror tech, including the Genesect, knowing that other people might be playing Goldengo at this event. So the Genesect with Ace Nullifier to go along with the Genesect EX to just further prevent opposing Energy Search pros. I think a good list, you know, very, very solid list, just straightforward, just does what it does very well, very consistent. Four Arvin, four boss, two Pokégeater. I think the big standout is no Cypher Maniacs. When he commented on it, he said, hey, listen, Cypher is normally just worse than Arvin or boss, so let me just play more ways to get to Arvin or boss, which, you know, you can't really argue with.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's an interesting list here. You look at the rest of the tournament that was there. William Acevedo, like you said, mentioned play Goldengo. He had a Goldengo finals. The standout of all eight of these players was definitely Gabe Fernandez, working with All Out Blitzel, playing an absolute pile of Pidgeot control. and there's a Scavalion in here. There's a new LGM to remove energy. We got the Abra so we can't deck out. We got the Sudowoodo so that we can retreat lock before we go into the Scavalion. We got the Oricorio so you can heal your active evolution Pokemon. You got the Cornerstone to try to wall Goldengo, but if they have Scizor, it's kind of tough. There's a lot to unpack in this list, but it does start with four Flute. Right, their main strategy is just retreat lock you with whatever you can't retreat lock. It was interesting to see. He definitely struggled against Goldengo, so I wonder if like maybe they didn't think about the Scizor like really being in the list this weekend. I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts, Parker, when you look at this Pidgeot control list? Would you play something like this?
It is a pile. I had a look at. I forgot what the Scovillain did, but I feel like the only thing this is missing is like a confusion or,
yeah, so that's
or something
the Scovillain,
like that.
The Scovillain, Scovillain does burn.
Burns and retreat lock.
It burns and retreat lock.
Yeah.
So it's pretty pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the Scovillain is really just here for a tanky retreat lock.
Yeah.
Also, you have the Ethan Sudowoodo, which you know, does have the cool coin flip attack, but is mainly there for the retreat lock on a basic.
Yeah. It's for the retreat lock on basic, yeah.
Yeah, and it's only one retreat. You know, you're not playing Poffin, so you don't really need, like, the Nakli, which is the other
option. Yeah, Nakli.
The standout also is there are three festival grounds in the deck. And again, for a few reasons. One, to stop any Monkey Dory shenanigans from your opponent, for Gardevoir, but also prevents your opponent from getting burned by the Scovillian when they have an energy attached to it. And if you need to put an energy on it, then you just move one there with the LGM. And then now they're retreat locked by a 260 HP Scovillian.
That's so crazy.
And they're not taking damage from burn. So very, very much a pile of a list.
One standout we have to call out is that Prism Energy is banned. And they would have 100% played Prism Energy if they could have instead of Luminous.
Yes, definitely. I mean, well, actually, is there any situation where you'd have it on the...
He already said, like, Prism Energy was, like, Gabe was in the chats talking about how, like, Prism Energy was, like, a big nerf not having it.
Back in the evolutions, so...
So, pretty interesting to see this metagame for, you know, these top players to come, you know, Isaiah and Henry. I think they pretty much played the same 60.
They played the same 60, yeah.
You know, and they did choose to play the Jellicent, and they played one Klefki in there. So, yeah, I mean, pretty standard what we've seen lately from, you know, Gardevoir, Jellicent. You know, nothing eye-popping to me. Standard kind of accounts for, I don't know, for research to Arvin. Just draw a bunch of cards. Only one candy is probably, like, the only thing, but I think that's been somewhat of a norm lately.
Unless.
Pop over to Daniel Magda's Goldango list. Just got to have a little Goldango corner over here. And show the image for this one. So Daniel Magda with a very cool innovation on Goldango. Again, not sure if this is a meta call for the tournament or for a reasonable build, but basically played Goldango with Trolley, which again kind of leads to the spot that, you know, Goldango has a bit of an issue setting up, but if they can set up, then they're in good shape. So Daniel opted to play four Arvin to go along with four Team Rocket's Petrol, just another way to find your precious Trolley, plus three Poke Gear. So this deck is almost never missing turn one Trolley. Of course, when you play Trolley, then now you're a little bit behind on, you know, that brush energy into play. So he's playing four Earthen Vessels to brush energy into his hand. Only playing four. I mean, playing six Metal and five Lightning to combo with two Levincia, and played the Rev of Room as the draw engine. Again, that Levincia combo works out very well. If your Levincia stays in play and you get Iono, you can go and recover a Lightning from the discard, and then. Discard it with River Room's ability to draw until six, and then use all of your Goldangos to continue drawing from.
He did beat Isaiah, and then he lost to Brent, and then he lost to Goldango Mirror. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, so very cool to see. It's something that I've been kind of curious about. I was like, oh, could that be a way to play the deck? I think ultimately, lost to Brent because he plays no disruption, and he missed like a two prize KO. So then. You can just never, Brent can always just play everything he wants and you can never disrupt them. So,
from here, right, this was the Azul Invitational. And while this was going on, the Tournament of Doom Regional Championship was going on this weekend. So, for those not familiar, this is a 2-day event that's held over Saturday and Sunday. It is a best of three event, online tournament that they run from time to time. And so, day one is 8 rounds. And day two is 4 rounds, I believe.
You go to details, it'll show you real quick.
I'm just going to, 4 rounds. So day two is 4 rounds. So day one, we saw Frostlass Monkey Dory surrounded by a field of Goldangos at the top of the chart towards the end. And this is a 309 player tournament. And you look at the metagame, had 14% Goldango, and the next favorite deck was Grimmsnarl at almost 11%, and a drop off down to Gardevoir at 7%. So seems like right now the two decks, you know, in this tournament were Goldango and Grimmsnarl is like the two most popular decks. But what we saw kind of happen, you know, through day one, at the end of day one, we were like, okay, we've got all these Goldangos here. There's a Frostlass Monkey Dory, which obviously they, you know, you look at them, what they did in day one. It's pretty funny. You look at their day one run. It's Goldango.
Six Goldangos.
Six Goldangos day one.
And it's a good matchup. The next day.
Yeah. So, you know, it's pretty interesting to see, like, when we're going into Sunday, I was like, all right, the metagame is definitely saying, like, Goldengo's good, right? It's consistent, it's strong. So, you know, where do we adapt from there? You know, where do people go into tomorrow? Still have to play the same list. So as we go into day two, the list that we saw success, we still saw some Goldengo success towards the top. But once we got to top cut, the Goldengos were kind of like shoved out, right? You got some Goldengo mirrors up here. They had to knock each other out, you know, in this top bracket. And then Charizard Dusknoir finds his way through Abai, a Goldengo, and a Goldengo on his way to victory and finals against Joltik Box. And down here, we saw a Joltik Box beat Flareon, beat another Flareon, and then beat Goldengo on his way to finals. So, you know, Goldengo didn't do as well in top cut of this said tournament, but obviously it's very strong. So I'll just kind of like let you guys chat. Thoughts on the metagame, thoughts on the tournament results, any standout things you want to call out?
Well, I mean, the Frostless Monkey Dory was an insane like meta call, honestly, because like it does just have a good Goldengo matchup. You just eventually devo their whole board. And there's nothing they can do about it. But I don't know, Charizard Dusknoir, like in the format, like I was thinking about this when I heard it won. I was like, how does it get through like Jellicent? Because you can't evo, you can't like, you just gotta like draw into the cards, I guess. But I don't know, like it's pretty interesting. I think this is like maybe more people played Goldengo than expected because of Genesect, but it's also just a fun, popular deck that's not incredibly hard to play, I guess. So it's always a good choice.
Yeah, I think Goldengo definitely lose to a Goldengo.
What's that?
He lost to a Goldengo, and
they play GU. Like they have options. Oh, yeah, that person. Oh yeah,
yeah. The Frostless Monkey Dory lost to Goldengo in top eight.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes if you just can't get set up, then
yeah,
can't really do too much there. Sure. I do think, you know, Goldengo, again, is really just benefiting from success of having a cool new way to play it. So, hey, the Genesect comes out, and it's, you know, relatively easy to understand. Oh, I just need to get my Genesect out. And, you know, it has that, like, new deck cool factor to play, which is why I think it's, and it's relatively, like, straightforward. So I think a lot of people are looking forward to trying it. So just seeing a large play rate because of that. And I think understandably so. And we also know that it is powerful, right? If we say, hey, we have a good time in the Gardevoir, and that's a pretty good, you know, decent deck to play, just because we all know how much Gardevoir has dominated the game previously. So I think it's a case where we're going to continue seeing it with a high play rate on online tournaments. I think the question will still be to see, you know, does it convert? Obviously, it converted pretty well in this tournament, but it didn't convert well in all the big tournaments we talk about.
Yeah, and so we'll kind of transition that talk to the next tournament here, right? The big piece to call on this metagame is that Goldengo's win rate on this tournament was like almost 60%.
That's which is crazy. Like
crazy high. I mean, Joltik Box down here at 61%, pretty high. Flareon, 57%. And then we go to the next biggest tournament, which occurred last night, the Smart Series, which had, by the way, the largest number of players ever in an online event with approximately like over 1,400 players. And for those of you that did not play in this tournament, you missed out. And also, we crashed Limitless. We found the limit for like one tournament. And it was not Limitless at that moment, but Robin came back and made it pretty Limitless quickly. So shout out to Robin for quick fix last night in this tournament. So take a look at this metagame, right? Still have Goldengo at the top, but kind of the Grimmsnarl fault fell off from, you know, 10%+ in the Doom tournament to down to 8%. And the Raging Bolt Enjoyers did show up. And we got Dragapult Charizard and Gardevoir Jellicent there. But the key thing, and we'll talk about the results in a second, but just look at the win percentage column and the differences between the Doom tournament and a best of three and this tournament here, which was a best of one tournament until cut. You know, the best deck at the top was Grimmsnarl Frostlass and Dragapult Dusknoir. And Ethan's Typhlosion beating up all the Goldengos. So, you know, from almost 60% win rate in a best of three event to down to 47% win rate in a best of one, you know, a lot more players playing it. So potential for, you know, people to not know the deck as well. But maybe something to say there. Like, Goldango's a really good best of three deck, but maybe not a good best of one deck. Any thoughts on that? I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Max? Do you have an opinion on best of one or best of three when it comes to Goldango?
I do think Goldango's maybe a little better in a best of three situation. I will agree with that just because there's some early consistency issues with it. I also think that, you know, as we add more and more people to a tournament, right, we see more of the, you know, casual decks and casual players enter, right? I think Raging Bolt having a higher meta percentage is very much in line with it being a best of one tournament that people were able to jump into. And I'll play what I know, which is Raging Bolt. People playing in the Tournament of Doom Regional, they were prepared for an all-day event, best of three, right? You know, the little more serious players are maybe not sleeving up Raging Bolt to go into that larger tournament, but someone who's going to hop on a Monday night and say, hey, I'll play some Pokemon on this online tournament, could win, you know, some money. Just got to do well with my Raging Bolt deck that I like. And same thing with Goldango, right? Just the number of players are so much higher. So when we see those decks that are the most popular decks, they tend to have, you know, lower win percentages because they're kind of being picked up by sometimes more casual players. And we see the same effect at regionals too. Yeah. Those most popular decks that people aren't as comfortable with but are picking up because they're the most popular deck tend to convert negatively just due to having more people unfamiliar with how they operate.
Yeah, so kind of wild about an online tournament that was bigger than some of our regionals last year. But Parker, I'm going to put you on the spot because I'm sure you haven't looked at it yet. 12 rounds yesterday.
Yeah.
To go to phase two, which was four more rounds, you had to go X2.
Mm-hmm.
How many players made ASEM? I know he hasn't looked.
You had to get 30 points. You had to go 10-2 to make ASEM.
Yeah, 10-2 was ASEM.
Yeah. It's like a regular regional. I mean, that just depends. Like, I don't know. I'm going to say, like, this makes me think it was a high number because you asked. So we'll say 15.
We had 24 players. 24. In this online tournament last night.
No Goldangos in ASEM.
No, not a single Goldango made ASEM last night.
And two Gardevoirs.
We had two Gardevoir. I mean, this is like a wild metagame for an ASEM top cut, right? Everything is so spread out. You know, this is what the format has been, right? We've continued to say this over and over on this podcast. Play what you are most comfortable with. Know your matchups and don't take any super auto losses. Make sure your deck is close to 50-50 on every matchup and just know how to play it the best possible way you can. And this right here, this ASEM cut from last night, just shows everything. Out of these decks, Parker, let's test how far you've gone. There's one deck here that made finals that you would not have expected to make finals.
I saw this one. It's the Ogre Pond Box.
Dude, we have Ogre Pond Box in finals. Take a look at this deck, you guys. This is literally the first time in a long time we've seen an Ogre's Mask in a large tournament make finals. We've got the Grass Ogre Pond. We've got the Water Ogre Pond. We've got the Fighting Ogre Pond. We should have the Fire Guy in here for Goldango.
No, it's bad. Because he's Cornerstone for Goldango.
It's fine. Anyways, got two Clefairies. You know, just really just using the four E-Switch that you have in the deck and the Ogre's Mask and Teal Mask Ogre Pond to attack with whatever you want to attack with every turn. Pretty crazy to see this deck make finals. I mean, does this deck have legs in this format?
I'm trying to just think of like what the lines are against everything. Like, grass is a good type to have. Like, obviously, because there's, you know, like Charizard and Grimmsnarl. I mean,
you probably can't beat Scizor.
If you just have like one cornerstone out, you can, yeah, you just KO it. Like, they have to, like, I don't know. You can just gust up the Scythers when they rebench it. I don't know.
All right, this deck should also play Prism, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't play any evolutions. There's no reason to play Limit.
So what is Prism banned?
Prism's
on
banned
live?
Right, yeah, it's banned.
Yeah, Prism's bugged. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to get fixed today. Today, I think live's going down today to fix it.
Okay. So I was like, why is he playing the best?
Yeah. So a pretty interesting list, you know, here in finals. And we did see him play against the straight Dragapult list that ended up taking it down overall. We got, I mean, really just a standard build here. I mean, the only thing to call out is instead of four Brocks, they're playing two Brocks, two Hilda. And like, this is like just standard Pult that we have seen for the longest time. So Pult's still good, right? Pult's just that deck that can take 50-50s across the board. You know, and when you play well, it does well. And even against two Clefairies, we saw it, you know, take down the tournament. So interesting. Yeah,
two cards off from Tord's top four list. You just took away a Turo and a Brox and added two Hilda. People want to stop cutting Turo, though. Turo in this deck is so good.
I mean, $350 richer now for playing that.
There you go.
Yeah. Jeez.
Crazy.
Shout out to Ogre Pond Box, winning $250 playing Ogre Pond Box.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
The rest of the top eight, we've got Dragapult Dusknoir, Charizard Dusknoir, Joltik Box, Ethan's Typhlosion, Dragapult Dusknoir, and Charizard Pidgeot. So what's kind of...
Some very good names playing in this tournament
as
well.
Yeah, exactly.
Grant Manley,
Michael here.
Also, Justin Neuer.
Summit.
Nudorf, first year master, 35, Salmet.
Blitzel just on the outside looking in. Sanjay down here with his Flareon that he's been playing for a while. Yeah, I mean, this tournament brought out like the players. I mean, me and Maddox played in it last night, you know, had some fun playing in it. But yeah, I mean, these results, what stands out to me, and we'll each kind of go through what stands out to each of us, but what stands out to me is that obviously no Goldango, right? The format's starting to adjust quickly to like Goldango being really good. And there's some Dusknoir decks up here taking advantage of no Psyduck, right? Like, I've been thinking like Dragapult Dusknoir seems pretty good. And, you know, two in top eight here does say that. What's that thought to you, Parker, from like top eight and the shift between the two tournaments and where the meta's going?
I mean, when is Dragapult Dusknoir not good? Like, I can't think of a time where it's, you know, oh, that's not a good play for this event. Like, I don't know. But the Ethan's Typhlosion, let me look at the run. I mean, probably feasted on some Goldangos.
I looked. It wasn't
actually
like,
one.
Yeah, it wasn't that
yeah,
many.
Just one, actually.
I mean, right. Ethan's Typhlosion is a deck that I really like overall. Like,
yeah.
The Brave Bengal, being able to hit some good numbers.
The Brave Bengal plus the Victini makes it so you can just hit 320.
Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy.
And against Grimmsnarl, they're usually setting up, you know, two Frostlasses, and you just go, oh, you just took two damage into my turn? That's cool. Here's 280 damage. Take two more and you're dead, right? Like,
yeah.
Enjoy your Frostlasses, idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I'm a little salty. I got destroyed by Frostlass yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'll happen, I guess, with Goldango, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, solid.
Max, what stands out to you between the two tournaments and where the meta's going?
Yeah, I think... Again, the Smart Series is very much like, we are ready for Goldango. I'm going to have options here. I think the biggest piece here is, you know, again, this, you know, again, the Charizard and like the Dusknoir decks, I think are a little bit underexplored right now. We're continuing to see some success with it. Again, just looking at like Justin Neuwirth's, again, Gumi35's top four list of Charizard Dusknoir. Closer to like a little John Roberts idea, kind of like we saw back in the day. Again, really just saying, hey, I'm going to set up a bunch of Dusclops or Dusknoirs and Charizard, and I honor you low and make you deal with it, which tends to be pretty good right now, as well as has that Chiyu to help into Goldango matchup and Raging Bolt, just help kind of even things up a little bit, have an efficient single prize attacker that can go and take a big two prize KO. Yeah. I think definitely things are a little bit underexplored, still a lot to see. And I think also, you know, anyone who's actually like looking to Worlds, I kind of take all of these tournaments like a little bit of a grain of salt. You know, I know that, you know, there are certain decks that, you know, players will prefer to play. I don't look at the Smart Series and say, oh, this is how the meta for the World Championship is going to look at. I'd be very surprised if the meta game looked similarly. Obviously, we know some decks are good. We know Gardevoir, Jellicent is good. We know Goldango is good. We know Grimmsnarl is still good. We know Charizard is always good. I think it's just really going to be, you know, that game of predicting what the best players playing against each other are picking. But there's still a lot to see, so a lot of fun Pokemon to play, and really excited to get the full locals with black and white cards coming around next week.
Coming fast. But next up, we're going to run through our list that we have chosen from these tournaments this weekend that we liked, that looked interesting, and run you through them. That way, you know, you're familiar with what they are, and maybe you want to give them a try. I'll go first. First up, I'm going to show off this Goldengo Dusknoir build that was ninth place in the Tournament of Doom, just on the outside of looking in. It's in there.
Okay, we'll find it. Yeah.
It's just on the outside looking in for the Goldengo Dusknoir build. And it's just interesting, right? Because so Goldengo Dusknoir isn't like a thing you would think of, right? I mean, Goldengo one-shots everything. Why do we need Dusknoir? And it did well. I think something that this deck can kind of feed off a little bit is you play one Candy and you play one E-Search Pro, right? If you can go turn two, go Rare Candy E-Search Pro, like sometimes you can just board wipe people by finding Rare Candy Dusknoir and KOing the active, right? Or just like KOing their only two things, you know, it just depends on their setup. But it is interesting to see, and I want to explore this deck a little bit more. Last night Max and I played a different variant of Goldengo. So I think Goldengo needs to be partnered with something. So, you know, the Scizor is a good inclusion. Some people are including like Typhlosion. Some people are including like there's like a Chiyu or I saw another fire type.
Ascent of Scorch.
Yeah. So there's like definitely some partners here. So we'll see the evolution of Goldengo, where it goes from here. But what are your guys' thoughts on this list and Goldengo Dusknoir? Is this a deck you want to try out?
It's definitely cooking. I don't know. I was like, yo, maybe you just one shot everything, but also like I don't know, like yeah.
You got the results for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it does offset that one prize. Like if they push a one, if you have to KO one prize.
Oh, true. Then, yeah, it does kind of help that too.
I feel like this has like popped up once before, but I don't.
Yeah, a list like this has seen play before. I think it played a split of the Togekiss and a Dusknoir.
Oh, right. That's right. It did. Yeah, It did. Dusknoir the active. Take an extra prize.
exactly. So definitely some like cool options that this deck gives you. Again, it's all about having that extra dimensionality, right? You know, if you're just Goldengo and having to smack with a two prize all the time, that works in some matchups, but not all your matchups. So having some extra dimension that you can lean on, I think, like Eric said, that is going to be pretty valuable. And again, what's really cool about Goldengo and the way it's being played right now is when you play with the E-Search Pro, you're playing one of every energy. It makes it very easy to include something like Ascent of Scorch or include some other tech attacker to sometimes utilize the extra energy. So excited to see more people explore. I'll see what comes around.
All right, next up, Max, you want to run through the list that you chose?
Yeah, so the list that I have is from All Out Blitzel. And again, it's not a Pidgeot control list. It's actually back on his Raging Bolt. So Raging Bolt, maybe like it's a little bit underappreciated right now. Does have a good time conventionally into Goldengo, which could be relevant here as well. I do think Goldengo gets a little bit stronger with the boss being able to make it easier to chain those two prize KOs. But the big standout here, you know, this is similar to list he's played before, but also is including a Bidoo, an Iron Leaves EX, and a Cornerstone Mask EX. So All Blitz about top 16 with this list. Exciting to see. Again, a pretty standard Owl Raging Bolt list. Again, the Cornerstone being, I think, really there to just help into like the Charizards that are seeing a little more play, the Goldengos that are seeing more play, just to give a few more options. And also, it is valuable just having another Terra Pokemon that you can put down in a lot of matchups. So even against a Goldengo, if you're going a single prize board, have your Raging Bolt down, you can put down your Cornerstone and have that be able to power your Noctowl engine. And then in the background, use that to be able to power up your, you know, one prize Raging Bolt. And it's no longer a countercutcher KO target from a Goldengo since they can't hit it because of Cornerstone stance. So very fun list. Again, Raging Bolt continues to be good. I think it's maybe an option that could be explored heading into the World Championships. So looking forward to seeing what comes from that. And again, inclusions like the Bidoo are always interesting. We've seen this in the Owl List Bolt, but see it back here in the Owl Bolt. So I'm excited to probably play this list on live a little bit later today and just see how it goes. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the list is interesting. I don't know if Cornerstone Wall's enough to need it. I'm not sure you can really build the right board state with it. I mean, there's not an E-switch or anything. So, like, you literally just have to, like, crisp into it one turn and then, like, the next turn attach. I mean, I don't, and he streams, so maybe I'll go watch and see, like, watch his VOD and see if he ever used it. But, like, I don't know. It just seems like a dead card, but it's one of those things where Regimolt could just play, like, 10 dead cards and still be a good deck. You know, kind of like old movie max days.
That's what I'm saying. At worst case, it's a Terra Pokemon.
Right. At worst case, it's a Terra Pokemon. Yeah, that's right.
And it can't and it can't get Gust KO'd by everything in the format.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I mean, that's interesting to me. I don't know. I prefer the no owl build right now. I'm having fun with like no owls and just going second and trying to outspeed your opponent, and that seems to be working for me. And you know, looking at Limitless results last night. An average of 1.45 fan rotoms across 138 players probably means that it's about 60-40, 70-30 favored of owls. You know, that's a conclusion I can make. But I ran a poll on my Twitter yesterday, and my results were everyone says 50-50. Like, it's literally 50-50 split, like, down the middle between people owls and no owls. So, I don't know. Well, I think both are good. I don't think there is, like, a for sure, like, right answer. It's, do you want a combo-oriented deck that, you know, is a little less consistent in the beginning at first? Or do you want, you know, a deck that's, like, super consistent, turn one attack, like, go, go, go? You know, just depends on what style you're going for. But, yeah, this list is interesting. I just don't think the Cornerstone does much. Parker, got any additional thoughts? You want to jump onto your list?
I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat as you at the Cornerstone, but, like, I don't know. I see Ditto back in here, which I know people have been on and off with. But it was also interesting, but I think that was also, like, a Japanese list thing, wasn't it?
It was.
Having the
Bidoo. The winning list had it, yeah.
Yeah.
But no owl build had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that way, if you miss turn one attack going second, you're like, cool, Bidoo.
Bidoo, yeah.
Gives you something to do, yeah.
But yeah, so my list, got to go a little down.
Saucy.
Further. Saucy. I've been talking about Steven's Metagross, and it is something that I want to play. I just am lazy and haven't picked up the cards yet. But it is Emma F's deck from the Smart Series. It is Steven's Metagross with Jellicent. The new Genesect that came out, boom. I can just search my Steven's Metagrosses, rare candy, boom. Accelerate two energies. Jellicent active. Hit you for 80. What do you do? And Metagross got 340 health. I don't see the Carbic in here to mitigate even more damage, but
plays the
that
cape?
Is a card. Yeah, it does play cape.
440 HP Metagross.
Yeah, that is Metagross. But yeah, I don't know. So it looks super cool. Clefairy in the list, so you can one shot Dragapults with Jellicent if you have the extra energies on it.
That's so hard to do though, right?
Maybe. Well,
you also, you could even just accelerate the Psychic and Metal to the Clefairy.
To the Clefairy, yeah.
And attack with that as well.
Yeah,
so.
That is also an option.
Oh, it goes to any of your Pokemon?
It goes to any of your
Psychic
or Metal.
One Psychic and one Metal energy. Yeah. And, yeah,
I
can attack
metal
with
Pokemon.
Nope. You attack with Munkadori. You can attack with Mew. You could attack with Genesect if you have to. But yeah, I don't know. I think Metagross is a good card, and like I've thought so since the beginning, but I was more focused on NAIC type
stuff. Yeah, I mean, it went 5-3 and you know, finished down in 200 and something place, but I mean, that's still a respectable result though.
No, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, these types of decks that can cheat out energy from the deck and just power up the Jellicent in its own way. Again, it plays some dark energy, so that way you're able to go and manually attach to the Munkidori. It gives you some, since you're not having to use your attach for turn. Yeah. To power up Jellicent or Metagross, since you can accelerate from the deck. So, cool to see. Again, I haven't seen like a Metagross deck I've really liked yet, and this one actually seems pretty cool. A neat combination of them. you are reliant on, you know, research and Iono engine, but you're playing for boss, like, you know, if you can just, again, go and boss up even a Dracloak or a, well, I guess maybe not a Dracloak if you're only hitting 80 at first, but, you know, go and boss up that Dreepy or that Charmander or that Gimme Ghoul and KO it and leave Jellicent EX in the active item locking, be very, very strong.
I mean, Goldenko is going to be hard pressed to KO a 440 HP guy. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
That ain't easy.
Not at all.
Interesting. So we'll see where this goes. Thanks for sharing the list, Parker. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Shout out Emma. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Beach Court Podcast. We'll be back next week breaking down more Black Bolt and White Flare metagame analysis, getting you ready for the World Championships. We're only 2.5 weeks away when this episode comes out. I think we're exactly 2 weeks and 1 day when this episode will come out. So
3 weeks.
3 weeks? Is it 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to get too excited. Yeah, 3 weeks. All right, cool.
You're making me panic a little bit too much there. I was like,
get prepping. Hey, huh? Get prepping. All right. Well, I think it's going to do it all. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
See ya.